Welcome to Moxie Bets, presented by Caesars Sportsbook. I'm your host, Katie Mox. Coming up on today's show, the World Series is set, and it's the Phillies and the Astros who are going to be facing off. Who do we like? We'll give you our picks. Plus, we'll recap week 7 in the NFL and let you know how we did, and we'll preview Monday Night Football. It's another ugly one between the Bears and the Patriots. You'll have picks coming for that, and Mox Locks are coming your way. But first, we welcome in Mr. Monday, Danny Brasco. Danny, how's it going?
It's going great. I mean, not so great here and there. I went 9-3 on the Sunday slate, so crushed my bets. But the Yankees then in turn crushed my soul. So, you know, a World Series that I'm not excited about with two teams I do not like and an ugly Monday night matchup. So, you know, I'm happy for the wins, but not excited for tonight necessarily.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm not excited for tonight either. But let's talk World Series first in the Mox thought. Phillies and Astros both punched their tickets to the Fall Classic. Who do you like to win it all? I'm going to take the Phillies plus the 170 here. So in 3 regular season games, Houston won 2 of those. All right. So I do think that they are the better team. However, the Astros joined the 2007 Colorado Rockies and the 2014 Kansas City Royals as the third team to sweep to the World Series, 7-0 slate. However, neither of those teams ended up winning the World Series. Also, the Phillies won 19 fewer games this season than the Astros. It's the second largest win difference in the regular season leading up to the World Series behind the 1906 White Sox, who had 23 fewer than the Cubs. Well, guess who won that World Series? The White Sox did. So I'm just going on, like, let's just keep the good vibes going with Philly and hope that the Astros lay an egg, even though I do think that they are the better team. I'm doing 170.
Wow, those were such interesting little anecdotes you dropped there. That's awesome.
They had to be interesting because anything that's just these teams, it's going to lean towards the Astros.
Right, it's tough not to. I mean, they're minus 190 favorites to win the series. They've swept their way here, as you said. And baseball's full of those little fun, you know, trivia tidbits that are unlike any sport. Since 1906, there hasn't been a bigger win discrepancy. And that's really the fighting Phils are living up to their name on the wild card run. They've gotten past all the teams that nobody thought they would. I mean, that they, yep, you know, the Braves, and they're here. They're really real. They've done it in all different ways, with offense, with timely hitting, with dominant starting pitching, with fantastic bullpen spots. I mean, this team is pretty complete, and they're going up against an Astros team that's just really done it with pitching mostly for them.
Yeah.
They've swept their way here, and every game, Katie, the other team was in it. Every game the Mariners played and every game the Yankees played, it was down to the wire. And to me, that's the scariest, that they're winning all the tight games, sweeping their way through tight games. That's what World Series postseason's made of. So I fear the Astros, and I want them to lose because they're one of my least favorite teams. But, you know, sorry to my Mets brothers, I'll probably be rooting for the Phillies. And yeah, I hope both these teams, you know, just, I don't know. I don't want to see a winner.
Look, I'm going to take the plus money, plus the 170 for the Phillies to come out of it. They're also the first team to make the World Series after finishing third in their division. So I just feel like they've got all the good juju on their side. And I'm still, I think because I lived in LA for 10 years and, you know, the Astros with the cheating versus the Dodgers that, you know, a few years ago, I just can't root for Houston. I can't do it.
100%. They're the most hateable team in the MLB. I don't like their organization either. There's a lot more besides the cheating scandal. So, you know, no one wants to see them win. I guess go Phillies, but that hurt to say.
They are a well put together team, which I don't know that we could say about the Yankees. You are a Yankees fan, so just give me just a little bit with how you're feeling about this team, you know, how they did in the postseason, what's up next.
It's just like more of the same, Katie, more of the same blunders and mistakes. And what are we going to do to change it? I mean, look, here's the slack I'll give them. We were missing some key guys due to injury. DJ LeMahieu, Andrew Benintendi, a key trade acquisition we had, and a couple relievers that were hurt. That really ended up hurting us because we couldn't hit. We were just waiting for the home run. And it feels like every playoffs, we're all trying to play hero ball, right? Everyone's just taking uppercut swings, hoping that they can drive one over the fence when, you know, hitting and moving the lineup and, you know, consistency wins games. And all the time we lack that. So LeMahieu and Benintendi, massive pieces that, you know, are those kind of average hitters, the bat for average that could have helped us do that. But even so, I mean, Aaron Boone made so many blunders, and I really disagreed with a lot of managerial decisions. And at this point, Katie, it's almost 15 years since we've done anything. We won the World Series in 2009, and we can't get past the Astros in this recent, you know, era. Brian Cashman, the GM, is equally on the hot seat. Like, what are we can't put together a team that does it. So I want Boone gone, to be honest. He's a really likable guy. I like him as a, you know, player. He's player's coach, clutch home run in the playoffs against the Red Sox. I know, but it's not winning games. So Cashman, Boone, They both might have to go, and I pray that Aaron Judge decides to stay. But I'm scared. Dark offseason looming potentially.
Could be a San Francisco Giant next year. Judge might be going home. I will say it was kind of poetic and maybe a little bit just unfair by the baseball gods that it was Aaron Judge up last to bat to strike out to send the Astros to the World Series. I mean, in a lot of ways, Aaron Judge is the reason or a big reason why the Yankees even got to where they were. To have him be the one to send the Astros, I thought was a little, unfair to Judge.
And we got swept on a Judge. Like, it's just all, it's so horribly poetic, you know, against us in the most negative sense. So, yeah, I just, we need to make a lot of changes, cultural changes, even for the Yankees, because we just keep coming up short and it's heartbreaking.
All right. Well, let's switch over to football. Steelers versus Dolphins. The Dolphins defeated the Steelers 16-10. Kenny Pickett, he had two game clinching interceptions. He's thrown seven interceptions in his first four career games. The only other rookie quarterback to do that, well, Terry Bradshaw, who did go on to win a lot of Super Bowls with the Steelers. So maybe it's a good omen for Kenny Pickett. I don't really know. Probably the bigger news here is that Tua did play in this game. He had two doctors evaluate him. And you could get into this a little more. We were talking about this in the pre-show. One of his doctors said he should never play football again. Yet here he was.
Yeah, and I think nobody expected him to retire. But yeah, that outside opinion, that second doctor, right after all the controversy with the Dolphins team doctor, turned out, you know, the investigation realized, oh, he made serious mistakes in his evaluation. So they bring in an outside opinion. She says he sustained serious permanent brain damage from that second concussion and recommended that he never play football again. And 23, 24-year-old kid, of course he's going to keep playing. But this is the NFL. These are the risks. It's pretty wild.
Pretty wild. And okay, they beat the Steelers. Great. But it's still an ugly, low scoring game, 16-10.
Steelers
covered. Now for the real, what?
Steelers covered.
No, Steelers covered. Yes, Steelers covered. Now for the real depressing game and the reason why I was in such a bad mood yesterday that has trickled on to today so I can commiserate with you about your Yankees. The Chiefs versus the 49ers. The Chiefs defeated the Niners 44-23. And I know it's easy to blame the quarterback for everything, but this was one of the worst defensive performances under Shanahan since his tenure. It was the most yards per play allowed by the 49ers defense since Shanahan took over in 2017. I mean, this was just awful. Jimmy made some good throws. He got us out of pressure a couple times. He made some bad ones in the red zone. I don't necessarily think the safety was entirely his fault. The guy came from behind. It's not like he's got eyes in the back of his head. But yeah, probably he should have got rid of the ball several times. Kansas City, they just played better. I mean, you can't say this is an elite defense and have Kansas City put up 44 points on you. They were able to neutralize Nick Bosa. Jerick McKinnon with his little revenge game came out just running down our throats. I mean, it was awful. And penalties were a big thing. I mean, we had 10 total penalties, giving them 80 yards. So, you know, I think the O-line sucked, and I think the defense sucked, and I thought the offense was okay.
Yeah, it was a tough performance for them, and it's kind of showing that their defense is really banged up. I mean, it's been banged up for a couple weeks. They were in a really tough scheduling spot against the Falcons where they dropped that one. So, you know, the hype on getting Christian McCaffrey kind of felt like, oh, man, like rising tides raise all ships. Here we go. The Niners are going to get a big win over the Chiefs.
He looked okay. Yeah.
He did. And early on, sharp money was on the Niners, right? That line moved from 3 to 1 by game time, and then I decided to stay away because I really did feel like a pick 'em. I felt like either team could take that game. But, you know, yeah. Like you said, simple as Chiefs outplayed him in that one. So I think Niners
especially
bounce back.
They'll get a little healthier. Half.
Yeah, they just need to get a little healthier.
Yeah, and to be fair, I know a lot of people are like, oh, are you worried about the Niners? I'm mad at the Niners. I'm not worried about them. We started 2-4 last season, and we made it to the NFC Championship game. Niners always have health towards the end of the season, which is where it counts. So yeah, we'll get McCaffrey back in there. He had a couple first downs that were great. I don't know why they kept just using him to run up the middle. Maybe we tried to use him a little bit too much. That's neither here nor there. Let's talk about something exciting. Giants versus Jags. Giants win 23-17. Giants, your G-men are now 6-1. Yeah, you're taking out the jersey here. I can actually see this today. Okay. Mm-hmm. Excited. Talk to me about the G-men.
Katie, what will they say now? What will they say now? Every week now, the narrative is like, okay, it's fool's gold. And I was one of the people saying it. I'm one of the talking heads being like, oh, don't get too excited. It's just, you know, it's
lucky. But now you can't convince yourself out of it.
Now I'm fully bought in. Dable is coach of the year and the season and the debate right now. He's coach of the year. I don't care what happens for the rest of the way. We could lose every game. I mean, this is fantastic. And again, every sharp bettor, every pro was on the Jaguars thinking this is the regression spot for the Giants. And it was a tight game, but we're winning in these just the clutchest scenarios. We stopped even after making blunders and giving the Jaguars a chance to win the game with a minute left and no timeouts, blunders, penalties. We stopped them at the goal line. Like, that's what it's all about.
Daniel
culture.
Jones, too.
Daniel Jones, he's not turning the ball over. That's everything. That is everything. So I'm so proud of my G-men, Katie. I'm beaming for them. They're curing my Yankee woes.
Okay, well, I'm happy to hear that. Let's move on to the Commanders and the Packers. The Commanders beat the Packers 23-21. I took the points with the Commanders. That was a cash for me. I obviously lost on taking the Niners. But let's move ahead to next week on this. The Green Bay Packers are 10.5-point underdogs at Buffalo in Week 8. It is the first time that Aaron Rodgers has been a double-digit underdog in his career. And guess what? I think the Buffalo could actually cover this 10.5 points. I don't know what is happening with this Packers team. Not only are they not winning the North, I don't even know if they made the playoffs.
Seriously. And last week after their loss, I came on, I was like, oh, the Packers suck. And that was like, all right, it's not very poignant of a take, right? Not that sharp, but truly I didn't know how else to say it because their offense is inept. And they even got help from the defense. Finally, last year was an elite defense. They got a pick six. They got a score from the defense, played pretty well. Offense just cannot get going no matter who they play, even subpar defenses. So yeah, it's gloomy for Aaron Rodgers right now. I'm not seeing the hope on the horizon.
Yeah, speaking of gloomy, Panthers beat the Buccaneers 21-3. Now, part of this, and the reason why I didn't want to touch this game is I feel like the Panthers lost Christian McCaffrey. Everyone's kind of down on them. They're getting rid of their best player. They're trying to move some other pieces. So they were like, they wanted to come out and be like, you know what? We're still a good team. We're still here. So I wanted to stay off this game. But the fact that the Buccaneers only scored 3 points, I'm actually worried about Tom Brady. He's looking worse and worse on the field and off the field. And I just feel like coming back this season was not the right decision. The divorce is taking a huge toll on him, and it makes me sad. I actually find this hard to watch.
There's no doubt about it anymore. Like, there's no debating that his personal life has obviously, you know, impacted his play. And the Buccaneers, besides Tom Brady, they have a lot of issues on their entire team. Another inept offense with another all-time quarterback. Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady have no ability to get their offenses going. They scored 3, and Brady had 49 pass attempts. It's not like he wasn't chucking the ball. Like, how does that happen? PJ Walker and the Panthers just beat Tom Brady off. I mean, sometimes the world is just upside down, and that's what we're seeing here in the NFL this season.
All right, people, we're brought to you by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. See, it's not just about the daily promos, odd boosts, or the hundreds of ways to wager. It's about the immortal words of Caesar himself. You bet, you get with Caesars Rewards. Every bet you place on the app, no matter the outcome, earns towards exclusive perks at Caesars Rewards destinations everywhere. Hotel stays, concert tickets, bonuses, and more. Download the Caesars Sportsbook app, become a Caesars Rewards member today and get more with every wager. Must be 21 or older to gamble. Gambling problem? Call or text 1-800-522-4700. Lions, Tigers, and tailgates. Oh my, the college football season is always a great time of year. Besides the jerseys, the face paint, and the foam fingers, there's the food. And nothing gets you more fired up for game day than Eckrich Smoked Sausage. They're naturally hardwood smoked and have the perfect blend of spices. From buffalo sausage dip to sausage chili mac and cheese, Eckrich Smoked Sausage is a quick way to bring flavor to all your tailgate meals. Visit Eckrich.com for easy, one-of-a-kind sausage recipes. Eckrich, you do you. Football season is here, and nothing beats seeing your favorite team live. Not only does Vivid Seats have great NFL ticket prices, they're also the official ticketing partner of ESPN. And with Vivid Seats rewards, when you buy 10 tickets, you get the 11th free. Download the app or visit vividseats.com today. Vivid Seats, life happens live. Receive a reward credit equal to the average price of 10 tickets purchased, excluding taxes, fees, and processing costs. See vividseats.com/rewards for terms and conditions. Time now for Capper's Corner. We'll give you our best picks for tonight's game between the Bears and the Pats. It's an ugly one. We're not excited about it. What are your best bets? All right, Moneyline Bears +300 if you think they can actually win this game. Patriots -385. heavy, heavy favorites. Patriots spreads 8.5. This was 7.5 earlier in the week, which I kind of liked. I don't know about laying this 8.5 over under 40, extremely low. What do you like?
So let's kick things off with the game total. I like the under here. Primetime unders have been cash money, and I'm probably just going to bet them all season long and, you know, in the good spots, but especially when they're set at low totals here, like 37 in Jets Broncos. I know it's not prime time, but I gravitate to low totals like that because it almost feels like odds makers can't set it low enough. They're just, please bet on the over. What's the lowest number we could put at to get you to bet the over? Because these offenses, you know, have struggled. And the Patriots behind Bailey Zappi have been pretty good, but they're getting Mac Jones back tonight. Yeah. I actually think, you know, that they're not just going to run away with it. Sometimes I like to fade the return of a star player. You know, it's sometimes it creates a little overhype. So, and I think his job is safe. I know there's a narrative. You know, like, come on, Bill knows Mac is his guy. So they're not going to have to prove anything or do anything extra. They're going to play their game. I like the under because mainly because the Bears have a truly historically bad offense through 6 weeks in the NFL. Katie, listen to this right here. Through 6 weeks, Chicago averages a league low in the following categories on a per game basis. Attempts at just 19.2 attempts, 10.5 completions, 54.8 completion percentage, and 122.8 yards. Just 122 yards.
Gross.
That's the lowest since the 2005, 49ers. And no team has averaged fewer attempts or completions since 1992 per game. That's a long time. So, yeah, Bill Belichick going to have, I think, an easy time game planning against that. I don't know how the Bears score. Give me the under 40.
I'm going to lean on the under 40 as well, but I did get burned on Thursday night taking the under in that game, which I still think was the sharp play, but Andy Dalton just decided to hand over a couple touchdowns in the first half, and then it completely spiraled out of control. But that's neither here nor there. I have moved on from that game, kind of. I'm doing prop bets. I don't know. I'm weary about the 8.5 points. I'm definitely not going to lay that because to your point too, it's just a lot of points, even though I don't trust his team at all. I lean under, I don't want to take it. I'm doing prop bets. I'm taking David Montgomery. And these are all kind of together. So I'll tell you what the plays are. And then I'll just kind of give you the analysis of why they all work together. I'm taking David Montgomery under 52.5 rushing yards. Is that -152? I'm taking Justin Fields over 7.5 rushing attempts. And I'm going to take Nick Folk, the kicker for the Patriots, over 1.5 field goals. So the Bears are the only team with more rushing yards than receiving yards in the NFL. So New England, obviously, they're going to focus on taking the run game away. They're going to, you know, load up the box, stifle the Bears' rushing attack, forcing Fields to win this one through the air. I don't think he's going to be able to do that, but I do think that Montgomery is going to be limited. And I do still think that even though they're going to try to force him through the air, he's going to panic. He looked like he was going to cry after the last game. He's going to panic. He's still going to attempt to use his feet. I don't think he's necessarily going to be successful, but I think he's going to try. So I like him over his attempts. I'm going to fade Montgomery, and Fields has taken off at least 8 times in all but one game this season. So I think he's going to try. And I do lean lower scoring. Like you said, I think Mac Jones coming back from injury, it just could take him some time to heat up. Nick Folk has only hit 2+ field goals twice this season, but New England has only had 2 home games so far. And both of those games, he went over this mark. He had 5 versus Detroit and 2 versus Baltimore. So I think it's going to be lower scoring. I think we're going to see some field goals. So I'm going to take him over too.
I like all of your bets. Those are all sound pretty strong. Yeah, this feels like a field goal game, right? With a total set at 40, it's going to be, you know, let's get on the board when we can. Nick Folk probably cashes that. I like that a lot. And to your point about David Montgomery under rush yards, I like that because that's kind of in sync where I'm going. I like Khalil Herbert, his counterpart at running back, over 31.5 rush yards. Yeah. Right. And I think mainly because Khalil's shown to be the explosive runner. He can break off a 20+ yarder at any moment. And he's done so in a bunch of recent games. Montgomery is also a free agent at the end of this year. And I feel like Herbert is more maybe the future back, right? Montgomery got this big contract. He's a big name player and didn't really work out. I mean, nothing really worked out on the Chicago Bears the last few seasons. So what are you going to do? But I think they probably move on from him in this at the end of free agency. So maybe in a primetime game, they look to feature their next guy up and Khalil Herbert a little more. It's a low total at 31.5. He just needs to break out one of those 20+ yarders. Hopefully you can, you know, crack one out and we can cash this. So I like his over.
I love that bet. And I was looking at that bet too. I was like, I'm definitely going to fade Montgomery, but I was looking at his over because I think 31 is really low. And I do think he might creep up to be their number one running back. So I agree with you.
Yeah. And then on the other side of the field, I like Ramondre Stevenson, running back for the New England Patriots, to go over his receiving yards total, actually. It's a bet I've been taking a lot on this show, a running back that's good in the pass game. And again, Mac Jones, coming back first week. Bears are pretty sneaky good against the pass, actually. They struggle against the run. So do the Patriots. So we're both looking at kind of running props, Fields rush, you mentioned. So I think rushing is the way to look. And to the same point, if both teams are much better against the pass, maybe, you know, downfield options aren't there. And Mac Jones checks down. Ramondre is definitely that dual threat back. So even though Damian Harris is back now, I still think that Ramondre, who's been doing so well for them, gets his looks. And he goes over 15 and a half receiving yards.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin. And the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
All right. I like it. So let's look at Mock's locks. There's only one thing that I feel good about, and that's Nick Folk over 1.5 field goals is at -123. What are you running to the window with, if anything?
So my favorite is probably that Khalil Herbert over 31.5 rush yards. But I'm also going to do a little something different here. A lot of people like to play teasers in the NFL, and that's when you manipulate a spread for those that are uninitiated with the teaser. You hope that it doesn't end up laughing back at you. But what you can get to do is move the spread. And Katie didn't want to take the 8.5. So I'm going to do a 6-point teaser in which I'm going to move it down to 2.5. Right now, the Patriots win by a field goal, and I can hit that. I'm also going to move the under. I'm going to move that up to 46.5. And typically when I do teasers, I recommend people don't tease totals. It's a lot more variance with game totals. So you're supposed to stay away from that technically. But hey, it's a standalone game. We're here to have fun. So let's get it. So I'm going to take the Patriots -2.5, 6 points on the spread, and then the under 46.5. And you actually get plus money on that in Caesars. So good luck if you're tailing.
I'm going to tail that. I like it. I like it a lot. Danny, thank you so much. This has been Moxie Betts presented by Caesars Sportsbook. Make sure you follow us on social at Moxie Betts.